you've seen The Departed, you know nobody likes a rat.
I got this rat, this annoying, key-eating rat, and it brings up questions.
This year, it's not just Frank Costello who has a rat problem. It's the whole city of Boston. Since the beginning of the pandemic, complaints about rats and mice in neighborhoods all over the city have spiked. So let's look into it. Here to discuss is Leo Boucher, Assistant Commissioner of Boston Inspectional Services. Commissioner Boucher, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And also on the line with us is Boston City Councilor Ed Flynn, whose district includes South Boston, the South End, and Chinatown. Councilor Flynn, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's good to be with you, Chris.
And we also want to hear from you. Have you noticed more rats in the city recently? Are you have any crazy rat stories or mice stories you want to share or tips for dealing with them? You can call us 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Commissioner Boucher, let me start with you. Can you give us a sense, how many more rat complaints are you getting this year compared to years past?
So our numbers percentage-wise were up considerably at one point, probably about 30%. Interesting. Those numbers reflect a number of things, not the least of which is folks are calling in the same complaint multiple times. And that just gives us an indication that there is a serious problem or an infestation, and it's certainly something we want to address immediately.
Councilor Flynn, I know this is an issue you've been working a lot on. You called for a public hearing recently. What are you hearing from your constituents?
Hearing a lot of similar concerns that Leo mentioned, but concerns that rats and mice are running throughout many neighborhoods of Boston. A lot of the restaurants have closed or are closing, so there's no food supply for them. So they're going through a lot of the garbage bags that are left on the sidewalk and in the street. So it is a significant problem. It's a quality of life issue. It's a public health issue.
Yeah, let's dig into that a little bit. In terms of a public health issue, obviously nobody likes seeing rats running around the streets or, God forbid, in your house. But can we talk a little bit about what is the actual health issue that this presents people with?
Well, one of the points is obviously rats can and do carry disease. Rat to human transmission is not something that's very common, but if there's a proliferation of rat urine or rat feces, it's certainly cause for concern. So it's obviously within everybody's best interest, particularly us as a municipality, to try and eliminate the food sources and eliminate the number of rodents on the street. All the rats need are food and water. They don't need anything extravagant. It doesn't have to be spring water. It doesn't have to be filet mignon. any type of food refuse, any type of water, puddles, stagnant water, things of that nature will suffice as a food source.
Again, I'd love to hear anybody who's got rat stories, 1-800-423-8255. I actually have one from when I was living in Brighton. My wife and I were out walking our dog along the street and down Sutherland Ave. Dog just kind of all of a sudden dives into a bush, and we're like, oh, great, here we go. And she pulls out what looks like a dead rat, and it is the biggest rat I think I've ever seen. And we're both like, that's gross. Drop that. She drops it, and it runs right across my wife's feet, who freaks out and runs all the way back to our house and locks the door behind her. I'm curious, is this just a pandemic thing, or were there other factors here? I know we've seen folks who have said some of these rats are as big as cats or bunnies, that they seem to be doing all right despite the lack of food.
So the cat and bunny analogy, sorry, counselor. So the cat and bunny analogy might be a little far-fetched. Rats grow to be about a pound and a half. And as most folks know, you see a rat, it becomes very sensationalized, you know, and obviously it does evoke panic and it does create panic. I've dealt with situations in my own home. I've been in other people's homes where they've had serious infestations, and obviously been involved intimately over the past 20 years in infestations across the city. So that is one of the primary things. I mean, obviously, you know, your first impression is that it's dirty, it carries disease and things of that nature. And we certainly want to do everything we can to eliminate people's fears.
Go ahead, Councilor. I know you were trying to jump in there, too.
Yeah, I just want to echo that as well. The public health of our residents is the number one priority. But making sure that our neighborhoods and streets and sidewalks and playgrounds are safe for everybody. And that's what we're really doing here, is working together with city officials, with residents, with neighborhood organizations to make improvements to make sure that every neighborhood is clean and healthy so that our children and families can live in great neighborhoods.
All right, let's go to the phones here, 1-800-423-8255. We've got Janet in Brighton. Janet, you're on. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Yes, I just want to report that I have a neighbor that puts out big chunks of bread every single day. She's done it for a year and a half, and I've called Inspectional Services, and there's rats over there every day. I see them. They're coming over to my yard, and they've Inspectional Services has come out and been very nice and put out a bait box in my yard, but they can't stop her from feeding the rats.
Janet, let me ask you, have you talked to her about this? Does she know that you're...
Yeah. Yes, I've talked to they don't speak English very well, but I've talked to the husband that does speak English, and he just shrugs.
What are they trying to feed? Birds?
I think she might have a psychiatric problem. I don't know. I'm a psychiatric social worker, so I think she's got some kind of issue, but I think, you know, the squirrels, his birds, and then the rats, and they're all over her yard. And they say because they're Buddhists, they can't kill them. But the point is that Inspectional Services can't get them to stop putting out big chunks. This is big chunks of bread. This isn't just a little bird seed.
Yeah.
It's like loaves of bread every day.
All right,
and this
Janet.
Isn't going on for a year and a half.
Well, best of luck for you. Watch your toes when you're walking across the yard, I guess. So I think that does speak to the challenges that you guys probably have, though, in terms of you can tell people what they should be doing, but there's only so much you can do in terms of actually cracking down on some of this, right?
So that's correct. I mean, in some situations, we would issue sanitary code violations. If what Janet said is true and she's got some psychological issues, and if, in fact, that is true, we've got other city agencies that we utilize in order to address situations like that. So we could deal with our Age Drawn over at our Elderly Commission, who are terrific, very good outreach. I'd be interested in having Janet's address. I mean, I don't know it off the top of my head, but I've got two inspectors in Brighton. I'll certainly speak with them later on this evening and see if we can come up with a group effort to try and educate folks. I mean, feeding is as big a problem as there is out there. I mean, people for years, I mean, traditionally and in many neighborhoods, I've got an 80-year-old relative who feeds the birds every day. And I talked to him about it and explained to him all the residuals that can occur. So it's something that's kind of traditional and very, very difficult to deal with. It's quite difficult to get somebody to stop doing that. I mean, it might be the only thing that they do during the day. Might be something they look forward to. But we would certainly do everything in our power to bring in some other resources to see if we can't convince them that what they're doing is wrong. In the meantime, as I said, If Janet can feel free to reach out to me tomorrow, and I'll be more than happy, or even today, more than happy to address it for her.
All right, there you go, Janet. Let's go back to the phones. Tom in Fitchburg's up next. Tom, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I was just wanting to comment that if anyone would like to see an active rat colony in the heart of the city, the Porter Square T station on the commuter rail platform after dark. You sat there for about 15 minutes, and there are hundreds of rats doing all
horrifying.
Their little rat things. It is kind of vile, and the first time I experienced it, it scared me quite a bit at first. But then, you know, I kind of watched them for a while. I was waiting for the train, and it was late, and, you know, they just did their little rat things, and it was kind of fascinating.
Tom,
but,
what are you thinking? That's how the horror movie starts. Get out of there, man.
It is a little horrible, but kind of, you know...
All right. Well,
kind of like watching ants. So I just wanted to pass that along. Anyone who wants to observe, that's the place to go.
Thanks for the tip, Tom, and I will not be taking your advice on that. So
I'm not going to take Tom up on that offer
yeah.
either.
Yeah.
Just getting back to Janet's call is the hearing that we recently had. The co-sponsor of the hearing was Liz Braden from Alston and Brighton too. So Liz is on top of this, working closely with Inspectional Services and with Public Works. So, you know, we're doing a lot of enforcement, responding to requests from residents, inspections, enforcements. I think there also needs to be a public awareness campaign of properly disposing of your trash, disposable barrels too. We had a pilot program in the south end. It worked. It worked pretty well. So there's different ways we can continue to work together to address this quality of life issues. And you know, I'm confident even during this pandemic, during this difficult time, that we're able to solve this or make some major significant improvements.
All right, back to the phones. 1-800-423-8255. Matt in Merrimack, you're up next. Welcome, Matt. What's on your mind?
Thank you. We're about a half hour north of Boston suburb. Pretty wooded area, you know, not city-like at all. But for the past 3 years or so, we've been dealing with this issue in town. I kind of brought it up. I live next to an elementary school in town and noticed holes all over the school. And my neighbor across the street found one in their windowsill and another one found one in their garage. So I set up some traps. This is 3 years ago. I set up a few traps outside my house. Within 15 minutes, outside around my fence line, I caught one. So I was like, oh, boy.
15 minutes. That's not a good sign.
No. And so I brought it up, and there's just complete denials. And then the following season, complaints started going all through town, still denials, and they haven't done a thing about it, and they're still around. There's a weird smell that they give up if there's a collection of them. So it's like a musty smell, but And they're still all around, and the selectmen want nothing to do with it, and neither does the Board of Health. So it's really been a tough issue.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that, and best of luck to you. So Matt raises a good point there that's been going on for a few years now. This is a problem that is not exclusively due to the pandemic. Rats have been an issue at times in the city in different neighborhoods. Is there more that you think that Boston could be doing outside of pandemic times to deal with this problem?
I mean, there's always more that you can do. Anytime you see an uptick like this, Councilor Flynn alluded to a good point. Public education is critical. Letting people know how to store their trash properly. I mean, the primary source for rats is the trash in the city. So we do enforcement. I know that the Public Works Department, the Code Enforcement Police, do enforcement. We have enforcement capabilities under the State Sanitary Code, which actually the town of Merrimack could also utilize. It's the same code statewide. So they could utilize that state code in order to deal with anybody who's in violation. But there are a number of different things that we do as well. We've got an older sewer system in the city, and there's a lot of water and sewer work going on, and the city's doing a great job in trying to update and upgrade some of these systems. But we do significant amount of subsurface baiting. We do sewer baiting on a regular basis in many of the neighborhoods where we have an uptick. But education is so, so critical. Trash storage and trash disposal are the two biggest issues that we deal with, and those are the most critical for us to deal with in order to eliminate, or not so much eliminate, but at least eradicate what we can for a rat population.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-423-8255. Bob in Cambridge, you're up next. Welcome, Bob. What you thinking?
Hi. Oak trees. Squirrels like acorns. How about rats? Do rats like acorns?
Very straightforward rats, question.
That's a very straightforward question. Rats will eat anything, any type of food product. Dog feces, not to be disgusting, but people not taking care of their dogs, leaving their dog feces around in their backyards. We've seen major infestations occur because of that. They'll eat berries. They'll eat any type of vegetation. They can get into people's gardens, flowers and vegetables and things of that nature. So the short answer to acorns is yes. I don't know if it's a preferred diet, but I'm certain that they would eat them if they had to.
I mean, when you eat literally everything, then will they eat blank? Yeah. I think the answer is yes, right?
Yeah, pretty much so.
All
yeah,
right.
Pretty much so.
Back to the phones. Donna in Jamaica Plain, you're up next. Welcome, Donna. What's on your mind?
Hi. There's a ton of construction going on, residential construction, commercial construction, and also digging up of streets, replacing the gas lines, replacing the water and sewer lines. My question is, does this contribute to the problem? And if it does, is there anything that can be done proactively when these things are occurring so that the neighbors surrounding these areas don't get infested?
That's a great question, Donna. What do you guys think?
That's a very good question. Go ahead, Counselor.
I would agree that it has an impact. I'm seeing a lot of construction taking place in South Boston in the South End, and I do see a lot of rats because of the ongoing construction. Also, Donna, with the ongoing construction, I do see a lot of illegal dumping of construction equipment or materials, just dropping garbage in someone's neighborhood. We discussed that as well at our hearing. So I'm asking for us to increase those fines. I also called for a city council hearing on water and sewer related issues. I think I'm going to have that hearing sometime over the next 30 days, and that's something I'm going to be able to ask the Water and Sewer Commission staff about what they see on construction projects and rat pest control issues. So it's a good point. I know Leo will have some more information, but I'll definitely follow up with you on what the Water and Sewer Department thinks about that specific question as well.
Commissioner Boucher, I want to ask you a question. I know last week you guys announced that an aggressive campaign to deal with this problem, and that I read that part of that includes dry ice. Could you tell us a little bit about that and why that is the way to go?
Absolutely. So dry ice is basically carbon dioxide. It's a gas, and dry ice is a solid that turns into a gas, so it sublimates. And what happens is you utilize it to do baiting in rat burrows. So in the rat holes where the rats live, in the burrows where they live, what we do is we put the dry ice into the burrows. It's basically a pound and a half per burrow, depending on the burrow size. You close the burrow, and what ultimately happens is as the dry ice sublimates, the fumes disseminate throughout the burrow system and, for lack of a better word, euthanize the rats under the ground. It's very successful. It's not dangerous. You're not utilizing a pesticide. It's very good to use in parks and playgrounds. It's very good to use in any type of open space and field. And most importantly, it cannot be used near structures. So we've been very successful, extremely successful in dealing with any type of rat burrows and rat holes that aren't in close proximity to a structure using dry ice. But that's just one of the tools. To piggyback on Councilor Flynn's comments, the Water and Sewer Commission, when they do a water and sewer project, they forward the plans here to ISD, and we take a look at the plans and determine, based on neighborhood activity, whether it's a high, medium, or low-risk sewer project. And Water and Sewer will sub the pest control out based on that. In addition, at ISD, if you pull a lawn form permit, which is an alteration permit, an erect permit, or any type of demo, soil borings, things of that nature, you're required to provide a rodent control plan for your project. We've been much more aggressive with those. Inspectors are going back multiple times. That construction might not be the cause of a rodent problem, but it'll certainly cause displacement, and it'll certainly make those rodents move to other locations where they can live. You know, you upend somebody's home, they have to go someplace else to live, and that can be a contributing factor. As I said, it's not generally a cause, but it certainly contributes, and it certainly will displace rats and move them to other locations.
Yeah, that makes sense. Let's go back to the phones here. Dorothy in Sandwich, you're up next. Dorothy, what's on your mind?
Actually, it's Darcy, and I just got my question sort of answered, but I wanted to bring up a funny story. My mother grew up in Brighton, and she told us all the time, as when we were children, the story of a donut shop on the corner catching on fire and hundreds of rats just pouring out. So I think the rats have been in Boston a really long time, and I did want to bring up the construction and the permits that people have to pull and having a I don't know if it's a containment part of it, but there was a New York Times piece, I think like 3 or 4 years ago, talking about the increase in rat problem there, and they were attributing it to a lot of new construction and buildings being taken down, and part of that was that they had to apply for, or had to present a contamination.
Yeah,
component
like a plan,
permit.
Basically, yeah. Dorothy, thanks for the call, and thanks for the story. Appreciate it. So I do want to ask you both, because we've kind of hit on it a couple of times here that we can address the problem, but ultimately we're not looking to get rid of all rats here, right? We're not trying to wipe out a species. So is there a way that we can live in harmony with the rats in our city?
Counselor?
I would say we need to do everything we can to eliminate them. If they're a public health threat, public safety issue, quality of life issue, it's about working together, city agencies, residents, neighborhood organization, the business community. But our residents deserve a neighborhood that's free of rats, and we're going to continue making progress on it. It's not a glamorous or sexy issue, but it's nuts and bolts of city government. That's why people pay taxes, is to have to live in a healthy and safe and neighborhood environment. And nothing is perfect, but we're working hard on it.
All right. Well, that's Boston City Councilor Ed Flynn, whose district includes South Boston, the South End, and Chinatown. Councilor Flynn, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Chris.
And Leo Boucher, Assistant Commissioner of Boston Inspectional Services. Commissioner Boucher, thank you as well.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate your time.